our episodes deal with serious and often distressing events, so listener beware. And if you or someone you know is suffering, please contact your local crisis center. Please check the show notes to this episode for suggested links and numbers to confidential assistance. Welcome back to another season of the Nightmare Society. It's taken a while to get off the ground this year, so thanks for your understanding. The struggle is real with keeping this podcast thing alive and balancing our full-time lives. And we strive to bring you some great episodes this year, but we'll be taking some time to review our efforts at the end of the year and see if it is sustainable again for the next year. We shall see where life takes us. Again, thank you. Now, be comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This is an old dirt road. It's hard to access unless you know how to take a turn down another old road that runs around the back of a coal mine that I work at. Anyhow, if you follow that old road until you get to a T intersection, you can either turn right out to Hale Creek or left, which will take you out to Mount Coulon. Now, Mount Coulon isn't much of a town anymore. It's an outback pub, and that's it. There used to once be a town there, but everyone upped and left once the railway line got moved to the coast. That was the only reason the town existed for so long, or for as long as it did. It wasn't the start of the town, though. Way back in the early 1900s, gold was found in them there hills by a prospector named Thomas Coulon. He staked his claim and settled there with his family. Some local aboriginals found him and his family living on their land. They weren't too happy about it, so they attacked his home, throwing rocks through the windows and antagonizing him. Well, Thomas went out and shot a lot of them all dead. Then, in a fit of grief over what he had done, sat down on his porch and blew his own brains out all over the wall behind him. Fast forward to the year 2021. I was working out at Hale Creek Mine at the time on the maintenance crew. I'd had a big 7 nights of 12-hour shifts and had very little sleep. I had left my mining camp the following afternoon still not feeling the best, but set out for the long drive back home to Moranbah. Anyhow, dusk came along, then nightfall. I was driving for what seemed like forever trying to make my way back home. I was constantly looking out for the turn off of the old back road that ran up behind Goonyella Mine, but it never came. I kept on driving and driving. Hours went by. I was on a very unfamiliar road. It started to bend and twist and turn all over, and then narrow, to the point that my little Kia Rio could barely get by without scratching the sides on branches of old looming trees hanging over the road. I was definitely lost. So I pulled over to check my Google Maps. No signal. Of course. I was so confused. Did I miss the turn? I thought maybe it's a little further up, so I pressed on and kept driving. Then out of nowhere I see an old and worn sign to the left of me, on the side of the old dirt road. Mount Coulon, 15K. I thought, okay, yep, I've gone way too far out of the sticks. Better turn around. Before I could though, I saw off to my right the entrance to what looked like a cemetery, with an old and rusty archway, and above on the archway was, in rusty wrought iron lettering, Betsy's Rest. Well, my curiosity got the best of me, so I veered in there to have myself a quick squiz. And there it was, a road that went in a giant U shape around an old cemetery full of tombstones. generations of cattle farmers and jackaroos, etc., who all must have worked on the various stations in the area. It gave me the spooks really bad. So I got out of there quick and made my way back to the old back road. I kept heading back from whence I came, hoping and praying I'll find this bloody T intersection. Over an hour passed, and then my worst fear happened. The fuel light flickered on my dashboard. Crap, I'm driving on this road in the absolute middle of nowhere. It's now midnight. No one will probably find me for days if I ran out of fuel. I was absolutely crapping myself. This is the outback of Australia. You run out of fuel, water, food in the outback. You just signed your death certificate. Done and dusted. All I had was a couple of sandwiches I took from the camp mess hall and a bottle of water. Better than nothing, but not enough to last a couple of days stranded on the side of an old back road with no phone signal. So I keep cruising along, being extremely careful not to go too quickly or over-accelerate around the twists and turns. As I'm driving along this lonely road, I see a shadow out of the corner of my eye. I think nothing of it, though, keeping focused on the road ahead. Then I hear it, swooping and whooshing noises above my car. What? I look up and see that I can only describe what looked like a giant bat creature with red eyes flying directly above my car. It startled me, made me accelerate at a rapid rate. Yet it's flying overhead, gliding effortlessly, keeping in pace with me. I'm watching my speedometer reaching neck-breaking speeds, and I'm bouncing all over the old bumpy dirt road, while this creature glides down to my driver's side window, looks inside at me, and grimaces. As it does, it flies up and disappears into the night air as quickly as it had appeared. I floored that old clunker of a car of mine until my heart leapt with joy at the sign of life in that desolate hillscape. I saw the goon yell at mine, CHPP's lights cut through the vast and empty void of darkness. I knew then and there that I was within 10 to 15 kilometers of the intersection and turn off back home. And sure as heck I found it. Anyhow, I managed to get all the way back home and very grateful that my clunker ran on an oily rag and the vapors in my tank kept me alive. I told my partner at the time all about the nightmare I had been through as she had been expecting me home the evening prior. It was now 6 a.m. the following morning. I was at an indoor sports center with my family. My family and I were there to support and cheer on my brother who was playing soccer. I was sitting in the stands and told my mom I had to use the restroom. She immediately grabbed my hand and was ready to go with me. I told my mom I wanted to go alone, and she quickly responded and said, "Are you sure?" with a surprised look on her face. This is an important detail because it highlights how young I was. I cannot remember my exact age. However, I remember that this was my first time asking to go to the public bathroom alone, without my mom holding my hand, and making sure I got there and back safely. Anyways, this was a big step for me, and my mom trusted me, and let me go ahead without her. So here's the most creepy and traumatizing part of the story. I walk into the bathroom. It's extremely quiet, and there's not really anyone in close proximity. It's so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. There are four stalls. I immediately go into one of the stalls, pull down my pants, sit on the toilet, and start to use the restroom. I then hear the slightest yet subtle noise. I know exactly where the noise is located, directly above me. Immediately, I feel like something is off and that I'm not alone. I felt a wave of darkness rush through me. My head slowly looks up towards the noise and I see a man. The man is looking directly at me. He's in the vent that is directly above me and the toilet I'm sitting on. However, the vent cover is completely removed. He's looking through an empty square hole in the ceiling. He clearly removed the cover himself, making his view of me clearly visible. The man is looking down at me, no clear expression on his face. But he doesn't move. We lock eyes. I then look away from the man and towards the door. There are two options that run through my child mind. One, pretend I don't see him. Maybe he will believe me if I act casual. Or two, run. I decide to go with option one. I think to myself and say, okay, just act natural. It's gonna be okay. Remain calm. I then think to myself, what the actual heck are you doing? Get out of here. I then open the door and run for my life and get out of the bathroom and run down the empty hallways to get away. Regretfully, I did not tell my mom or anybody else about this incident. Once I got back to the soccer field, my mom asked me, how did it go? With so much excitement in her voice. I was in such a tremendous shock that the only thing I could respond was, good. My mom kissed me on the forehead and was so proud of me. Not telling anyone about this is hands down my biggest regret. The creep got away with watching me and likely many other girls and women. I should have told my mom, who would have contacted the police and who could have called the creep. Maybe I was too young and immature to fully understand what had happened. I don't know, but this breaks my heart. I didn't tell a soul. So a creepy sir who traumatized a young innocent child. I hope we never meet again. I was homeless for a few years, from 18 to 21, and I used to stay in a tent with my ex. I always had to end up moving my tent spot eventually because the cops would find us. Either way, I had spent a lot of times in the woods at night. One night, when walking back to my tent, I heard something down the trail a bit. I shined my light in the direction of the sound to be met with glowing eyes, reflecting my flashlight. However, where the eyes were, made it so that whatever was looking at me was taller than me, and I'm 5'8" tall. There's no animal that tall in my area. I turn to my ex and tell him to start going to the tent faster. He could tell something was off, so he asked if I was all right. I told him I'll tell him when we get to the tent, because I've always been told not to acknowledge such creatures and spirits, as it gives them more power. Then some nights there would be smacking on our tent. It would hit all sides of the tent. We would look out the tent windows and check outside the tent, but we would never find anything or hear any footsteps. Another night during the summer, we had decided to go for a small hike at night because it was way more of a tolerable temperature. About 15 minutes into the hike, I had started feeling a bit paranoid, like I was being watched. About 5 minutes later, I heard a maniacal laugh coming from somewhere in the woods. I couldn't pinpoint which direction, though. My ex asked what that was, and I loudly said, I don't know, but whatever the it is needs to stop. As soon as I said this, multiple maniacal laughs now started. My ex and I turned around and walked back for what felt like the longest 20 minutes. Another time, I found a severed coyote head with something hung in the tree beside it that had a tooth in it. And lastly, one time I was with my friend parked on the road far into the woods so we could smoke. The passenger window was down, which is where I was sitting. The woods were right next to me. Again, the feeling of being watched overwhelmed me. 2 minutes or so later, I hear,
hello.
And then,
John.
My name. Coming from the woods. I tell my friend to turn around and we need to leave. I didn't tell her why because I didn't want to acknowledge these things until I'm far away from them, like I said. So let's just say whatever was in the woods, I don't ever intend on meeting it again. For Christmas. He lives in South Jersey, in a pretty remote area just north of Bern State Forest. It's quiet, and always a little eerie, but felt especially weird with the overcast weather and unseasonable warmth of the last few days. We did Christmas dinner at my brother-in-law's and got back pretty late. Because of the radiator heat and outside temps, we slept with the windows open. I woke in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and as I was drifting back to sleep, I heard a low wail, building in volume for a few seconds before stopping abruptly. I figured it was just an odd-sounding bird and tried to go back to sleep. It happened twice more over the course of maybe 5 minutes. I was basically able to put it out of my head and start drifting back to sleep, when I heard a loud, shrill blast like a too-high elephant's trumpet. At that point, I shot up, heart racing. I knew I had to close the window and took a beat to build up to it. When I dragged myself out of bed, I peeked through the shutters before I reached to shut the pane. Whatever it was had tripped a motion sensor light at the back of the property and was half illuminated, standing maybe 100 feet from the back door, right at the tree line. It was cloaked with its head partially shrouded. The bottom of its face looked flat and round like the back of a dinner plate, and another smaller, half-uncovered black circle at its center. I immediately slammed the window shut and it didn't move. It just stood there with its face tilted towards the window. I shut the blinds and crept into bed and basically hid until the sun came up. I didn't hear any more sounds. I dared another look out the window after dawn, and the figure was gone, and I managed to drift back to sleep for a few hours. What was this cloaked figure at the edge of the Pine Barrens? So, to give a little background information on this story, which is 100% true, I'd like to start with the fact that I am European. My friends and I are from Spain. And when this happened, at the end of September 2023, we were fairly new to the US. I moved here a while back for law school, and so did my friends. We had been living here for a few months and decided to explore the nature of this beautiful continent, as we all lived in New York City. So, long story short, we decided to go on a road trip to Canada, drive around Lake Ontario, and then drive back to New York City through upstate New York. I'm a guy and my friends were three females, and for the sake of anonymity, we'll call them Lisa, Anna, and Charlotte. Everything went super smooth until the last night. So for our last night, we had rented an off-grid cabin in a remote area in the woods of upstate New York. To give some locals an idea, we were like half an hour drive from Harrisburg, I think. Me and Lisa had decided to spend one night in this cabin because it was one with nature. The cabin was super old, made from log wood, and there was no running water or electricity. Both me and Lisa had experience with survival in the wild in Europe. I, for myself, had been a Boy Scout my whole life, and even was a scout leader for a while. Our other two friends were, as much as I love them, purebred city girls. They had pretty much zero experience with camping, or just being in a place where there's no service for the phones, as was the case with this cabin. We had been driving all day to get there, and when we reached the beginning of the forest, it was already well past 10 p.m., and it was really dark that night. While driving to this place, we lost internet connection with the GPS, so I had to drive to the cabin on intuition paired with a good old-fashioned map, hoping for the best, while trying to drive safe on these muddy trails. It was also rainy the whole day. On the way there, Anna and Charlotte were in the back of the car, and the moment they lost phone service, they got pretty uneasy for the rest of the ride. All of a sudden, in the pitch black darkness of the forest, we all saw a campfire, but there were no houses around, or people, just a campfire, a well-organized one since the fire was not spreading and it was not as big as a bonfire. It kind of startled all of us, as this was a little bit weird, since there was no one around and we were really deep in the forest already. Plus, it was getting very late. When this happened, we also reached the end of the trail and we figured we had taken the wrong trail at a crossroads before. So I turned around and we were on our way out again. Half an hour later and a couple of wrong trails later, we finally had arrived at our destination, as we could finally see the first glimpse of this godforsaken cabin in the middle of nowhere. To give you an idea of how old it was, the potty was made out of wood, and was outside the cabin. When we arrived, it was still raining and both Anna and Lisa were definitely not in the mood for getting out of the car and going into a cabin with zero lights. So Lisa and I left the lights of the car on and went inside the cabin, while also using our phone flashlights to check the cabin out and see if we could find any old flashlights, which we did, and to see if we could turn on the fireplace, which we did not because all the wood was still wet from the rain, and it seemed no one had prepared to bring any dry wood anywhere. So with a couple of old flashlights and a small improvised fire I managed to make in the stove, we all four got in the cabin and started to make some pasta. Meanwhile, the girls were preparing the beds and closing the windows since it was already cold in this part of the state. The cabin had a small ladder which led to an elevated room space with a bed where all three of the girls could fit in, and I would sleep downstairs in a bunk bed that seemed older than the First World War. While making pasta, Anna, one of the city girls, came up to me and, knowing that both Lisa and Charlotte did not like to hear anything scary at night, told me that she had seen an old cemetery in the middle of the forest on the way to our cabin, and that she had seen a figure walking around there. I first laughed it off as nothing. As I mentioned in my previous story, I don't consider myself a big believer of scary stuff. Being from Spain, we take promises very serious. To swear on God is very serious for us, and she swore to God that she was not lying. I told her then that I believed her, but that there was no need to panic as I would lock all the doors and we would go to sleep. So we ate and managed to make a couple of s'mores, which are lovely by the way, and drank a couple of beers. Or at least I did. They all just had one. I can assure you that I am not drunk after a couple of beers, and that I would never start to hallucinate. Just saying, in case anyone thinks I saw stuff because of beer. They all three went to sleep pretty soon after that. And I, considering that I really love the outdoors and that I don't really mind a little bit of rain, decided to take my last beer and a flashlight outside to the front porch, also very old and made of wood, and sat down with my beer while enjoying the sound of rain and the lovely sight of not seeing a single light in the distance. I could greatly appreciate this coming from New York City, and I just scanned the area with my flashlight. There was nothing much really to see besides a lot of trees and a small creek a little further away. All I could hear was the wind, the rain, and the running water down in the creek. That was until I suddenly heard what I would describe as a weird roar. The first thing that came to my mind was a bear. But I had researched well before our trip, and I knew bears were not common at all in this part of the state. I also know what a bear roar would sound like, and it did not resemble it, except for the fact that it was a deep roar, if you get what I mean. Startled but not really scared, I continued to scan the rest of the forest as far as I could. It was then and there my eye caught the glimpse of a figure, well hidden deep into the tree line. I would describe the figure as tall, probably about a foot taller than me, and I'm 6'4", maybe even 2 feet taller than me. It was well hidden because it had brown fur, at least that's what I think it was, or the skin in any case, blended in well with the trees in autumn. It was definitely aware of our presence, as I saw two eyes glimpsing into my flashlight. I could not tell you what it was, but I swear to God that it was not a bear. It was bipedal and had rather long arms. We looked at each other for what seemed like an eternity, but in reality was more like 5 seconds before it vanished behind a tree and I heard another roar. It was then when I felt all of my hair stand up and I was definitely very much scared. I went inside as quick as I could and locked all the doors and closed all the curtains. I quickly went to bed and tried to wave it off as my exhaustion just playing tricks on my mind. I was driving all day anyway. But I promise you, this was very real. After an hour or so, I had calmed down and finally fell asleep. The rest of the night was uneventful, And the next morning, the weather had cleared and it was rather sunny. And as far as I could see, the forest was calm and beautiful. No sign of any animals or anything abnormal. So, what did I see that night? I don't think I'll ever actually know. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time.